Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
And greetings to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we are grateful that you have joined us yet again for this episode of Talk Straight. Now, Talk Straight is a national dialogue and broadcast that we endeavor to maintain from Building Families and Communities Institute, located in Nashville, Tennessee. And we've been grateful for being able to be on air now for 2 years, going into our third year now. And I must say that Pastor Ricky Waller has been an excellent co-host over the years and have sat in for me and been very helpful. We want to give honor to whom honor is due. All right. That being said, we're grateful again for all of you who over the last couple of years have participated, communicated in our dialogue. We invite you again tonight to join us to do so. And we're grateful that we have an opportunity to engage you. Now listen, here's two ways that you can communicate with me tonight live on air. All right? One, you can call in the studio so that we can talk directly just as we are right now. 383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And the other one is very simple. Simply post your question or your comment right here on Facebook, the live stream post. All right. We have a specific topic tonight, and that is how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice. I want to make a correction tonight before I move in too far into our discussion, because on Tuesday night, our caller asked a question relevant to the relative to the Constitution, how many amendments are there to the United States Constitution? And I gave incorrect information. And I wanted to make sure I was sure about it, so I went back to check, to double check, and I realized that I didn't quite state the right thing. I said that there were 26 amendments. Briefly, let me explain. There are actually more than 26, one more. September 25th, 1789, along with 11 other proposed amendments, was a certain amendment. All right. While the 10 of those amendments, these 11, of the 12 proposed were ratified in 1791 to become the Bill of Rights, what would become the 27th Amendment, which is what we have now, and the proposed Congressional Apportionment Amendment, what it's called. It did not become ratified by enough states for them to also include that in the first 10. All right? So up until May 5th, 1992, we only had 26. But on May 5th, 1992, U.S. Congress enacted the 27th Amendment, all right, to the United States Constitution. What it does is to prohibit any law that increases or decreases the salary of members of Congress from taking effect until the start of the next set of terms of office in the for representatives. Now, this is for the House of Representatives. So why did that happen? A little, little historical background on the 27th Amendment that was enacted on, again, May 5th, 1992. All right. In 1982, it is reported that a gentleman by the name of Gregory Watson was a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Texas in Austin. He wrote a paper for a government class, and in his paper he claimed that the amendment could still be ratified. That was hoped for. Well, his teacher assistant graded the paper, and he got a C on it, reportedly. After he appealed to the professor, who was Sharon Waite, it failed. However, Tim was motivated to launch a national or nationwide campaign to actually see to it that the amendment was added. And he was successful ultimately in 1992, 10 years later, hence the 27th Amendment. So the correct answer to the caller's question is that there are 27 amendments. Now, if there, you know, snuck another one in on me, I don't know nothing about it. I don't know nothing about it. But I did want to make that correction. But tonight, our topic this evening is how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. There's a notion that the law is not fair to us. And we've heard some of our callers recant this notion, make those assertions. And this notion is prevalent among our of or have been of the urban American experience. Okay? This stems from, I believe, the strong over tendency for people to negatively interact with law enforcement, thus having very bad experience, and the court system themselves. There are a great many people who come from the urban American experience who have avoided, though, these negative engagements with the criminal justice system and the court system. So everybody don't feel this way. That is not everybody's experience. Perhaps there is a need to share with you protect particularly those that are most prone to be trapped in the criminal justice. We've heard it said that it's a trap. I need to give you background information, share with you some ways by which you can avoid that. Hence our show tonight, how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. It's true, oftentimes at a young age, as a juvenile, people get caught up with charges, have to face the juvenile justice courts, and they automatically go on paper. But I would argue that in school, if you act out and you're written up, there is a written record of your behavior that can follow you well into your adulthood. Now, here's the question that we want to answer tonight, and that's how is it that we can avoid even being caught up in such a trap, all right? So, Romans, the 6th chapter, 14th verse, says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Let's begin. What I want to do is to briefly, and I talked about this on my podcast for my, I have a political podcast for my campaign for Tennessee Senate District 19. I spoke of this on one of our episodes there. I'm just kind of sharing this background with you now because it's reoccurring. I keep hearing that from some of our regular callers on Talk Straight, and I thought that it was useful to give you this background, this information there. So let me begin by defining what the criminal justice system is. Who is it that it targets? What is its function? What are the various parts of the criminal justice system? Very briefly. And B.B. King, I think, articulates an idea. And I would argue that those that are most prone get caught up. Perhaps you're making a move, the wrong move. And B.B. King is going to help me intimate that concept tonight. The number is 657-383-0944. Please, by all means, give us a call. And we're going to go ahead and finish our monologue. And I see we got callers in queue, so we'll get right to it. All right? All right, so we're talking about how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. There are some good people who get caught up in it. And there's an argument that wrongfully so. But nonetheless, all right, here we go. So definition, criminal justice is the delivery of fairness to those who have been accused or have been found to commit a crime. In theory, the aim of this process includes, one, rehabilitation. We talked about that Tuesday night, rehabilitating a felon's mind. So it's intended to help rehabilitate the offender's mind. Two, to prevent crimes from happening, particularly from the offender. All right? In the interest of third, moral support for victims and keeping society safe. So the criminal justice system is really set up to give those who are accused a fair shot to what is called due process. But it's also intended to try to protect society and keep victims from being re-victimized. So the primary institutions that comprises the criminal justice system are thus considered as. Now, we get police or law enforcement. And their purpose, I know there's argument whether or not they do this well, if they're just and honest. And I get that, and that's hopefully what we'll talk about tonight. But their purpose is to ensure preservation of peace and public safety through enforcing local, state, and federal laws. That's their purpose. They also provide support and assistance during emergencies and crisis situations. When they patrol designated districts to ensure the preservation of peace and public safety. That's what the police or law enforcement, that's their function in the criminal justice system. Then you have the function of the prosecution and defense lawyers, or these are people that represent folk on one side of a charge. Both prosecutors and the defense lawyers, attorneys who participate in the trials of criminal cases. Okay? In contrast to the defense attorney who attends both civil and criminal trials, the prosecutor only works criminal trials. So they're trying to prove that somebody committed a crime of a criminal nature. Okay? Of course, they're both lawyers, but each has his or her significant role in the cases that they represent. All right? So when you come to the next area of the criminal justice system, and that's the court system. You have these attorneys representing on one of those sides. So our courts provide a forum, a proper forum, and they're set up like that. You look at the courtroom and where they're set up, the witness stand, the jury, and even the audience that are there, and the attorneys that represent, and the accused, provides this forum to resolve the disputes and to test the enforced laws in fair and a rational manner. Okay? The circumstances of any particular case may result in the changing or refinement of a law and its application. And what happens is, if you take it from the lower court up to another court and have it appeal, and it can go all the way to the Supreme Court, and they can rule that there's a need to override a state law or local law, or things of that nature, or any other federal law that has proven itself to be working against citizens and the people. Now, this is where people come in and say that it's unfair, it's unjust, I don't like it, I don't think it's right. Okay? But you can change it. That's my point. The criminal justice system is designed to have a process by which you can even challenge or change laws that you feel are unjust. Lastly, the prison system. After an individual is charged, tried, and convicted of a criminal offense, and their sentence, they go through the prison system. Four major purposes of the prison system. When you're there, we talked about this other night when we were talking about rehabilitation and how well the criminal justice system has done that. And those purposes of the prison system are retribution. So you can pay for your sins or your crime against an individual society. Incapacitation, pulling you away from the triggering forces and the circumstance that caused you to commit the crime so you can't do it again. Or anyone else can be harmed by your action. Deterrence is what that is, keeping others, or you away from others so that you can't be harmed to those who don't break the law. And rehabilitation. Now, that's the sticky part. Because we talked about Tuesday how people go in and they come out no better for time that they spend in. So what was it all about, right? Was it just about warehousing them? Did they learn anything? What happens is there's a high recidivism rate. They come right back because they reoffend again. They become institutionalized. They learn how to function on the inside. And when you force them back out into the free world, oftentimes they can't function regularly. Okay? Now, what I want to do is to briefly let you know that the primary role of the citizen, this kind of gets into how we can avoid that, right? Stay informed about the laws that govern your local government, your city, your municipality, the state that you live in, and the federal government. Am I saying you have to be a legal scholar? Absolutely not. But I'm saying that it helps, it does you well, to be aware, to teach your children about these things. Because in those laws are certain legal expectations or civic expectations. And how you keep from violating the laws is following the civic expectations and avoid breaking those laws. Okay? It doesn't matter if it's a federal law, if it's a state law, or local law. Well, I don't like that law. And I think it should be changed. Your legislators, both on the local level, all on the local level, state level, and the federal level, are the best people to do that. And the more organized you are in your local voting precinct, your neighborhood, your community, best chance you have through that organization to exact your interests and your will in government. Now, I told you I was going to ask B.B. King if he would help me clear this thing up about making a move that gets you in the jam. Here you am, just for a second here. Thank you. to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And we're on the air. We're on the air. How to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. And I would tell you now, BB was trying to tell us, don't make your move too soon. You bust the wrong move, but guess what? You get caught up in the trap. I go straight to the phones with my good friend out of Peoria, Illinois, 8112. Welcome to Talk Straight, 8112.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm better to hear your voice. You just made my whole day.
You
just know that?
Played for me. I thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And, well, you're all by yourself right now. Pastor Waller, we hope you'll make it with us tonight and the others will join us. But we thank those who are joining us via live stream on Facebook. What do you think about what I was talking about?
I think when you get to talk about people make their move too soon, what happens if people don't make a move too soon and they get messed up by the caught up by the po-po? You know, I take that personally.
Right.
So what happened to them people?
You know what? I'm doing a question. Don't be asking me no question. No, that's a good question.
Politically speaking, sir.
Well, no, we can just shoot straight. You know, we can just shoot straight.
Well, they tried to wound me while I was trying to, they were resisting an arrest. Lying like a dog, you know that. Don't make me that ugly.
Right. You make a good point. I want to respond. Hold on 1 second. Hey, Don,
right.
How you doing, man? Hold on 1 second. Don, how you
doing? I'm doing good, Mr. Dockery. I was going to bring you up to speed. They are putting police officers in jail down here.
Hold on 1 second. That's it, because we're talking about that tonight. Hold on 1 second, though, Don. Can you, it sounds like we're getting your background noise. Is there some kind of way you can pull away from whatever's going on around you? Are you driving right now?
I was going from the washer to the store. So I'm going over here and get in the washer.
Okay, all right. So good. So 8112 was asking me, B.B. King said, don't make your move too soon. We just heard him talk about that. Of course, he was talking about a lady, 8112. But I think it's applicable when we talk about how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. Don just told us that he learned down there in Selma, they locking police up. What about that, Don?
Good. Damn. So what? Good.
Wait a minute, 8112. Okay. What's going on, Don? What you got going on down there?
Well, I didn't know this, Mr. Dockery, so I was helping a brother set up the base for the Nation of Islam here. My wife's first cousin came and told me something, which I didn't know, because when I came down here, you know, Mr. Dockery, I was struggling to get back because I was investigating some stuff there in Tennessee. But I found out some stuff on my wife and a friend of hers that they was seeing each other. The same police officer... as I'm struggling to get a foothold because she kept, I didn't know what the fuss was about, but she always fussed with me. So I like got away from her and moved into the Washingtonians here and did some work with some folk. And what I'm coming to find out, the police officer, I think they, my understanding that they done put three of them out of the force. I think they're on the real investigation because of the drug operation. That dope, it goes back to Dope Inc., Mr. Dockery. You remember LaRouche wrote the book Dope Inc.?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Okay, and then I was going to tell you too, Mr. Dockery, I see this on another plane. Mr. Trump and Mr. Shelby, well, Senator Shelby here in Alabama, Mr. Trump, I'm seeing them support the program that my dad and Ms. Boynton was going with LaRouche, and it's called Silk Road. I see them working with that, with the Russians and the China. I see that too.
I see.
And it's like we've been left out again economically.
All right. So let me tie what you're saying relative to the police into how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. Tuesday night, we did a lot of talking, and we heard some people suggest that the criminal justice system is not fair, right? And the way people get a felon and they come out. And we heard that, listen, you can't make excuses. You've got to be responsible, okay? But now... there is a case here in Nashville where a police officer I understand, was arrested for a shooting that happened here in Nashville. And that brought jubilation to a lot of people, 8112. Because I'm Don, I'm gonna just turn you off just for a little bit because I'm getting a lot of the noise in the background. Because it involves a case where he shot an individual that was running from the back. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, if there is a credible charge for anyone, that should be investigated, and it should be like anybody else. You know, that should be tried. And that's
mm-hmm.
why I brought out the idea that what the criminal justice, anybody, whoever it is, who has a charge leveled against him, has a right to due process, even the police.
Mm-hmm.
If they're found wrong, guess what? If they found wrong, they should be held to account. What were you going to say, 8112?
Yes, sir. I agree with you about the due process. I also
mm-hmm.
agree. Remember the movie License?
Yes.
Eddie Murphy,
yes.
A minute.
Yes.
They spent
yes.
all their youthful life in prison for a crime they did not commit. And why?
Okay.
Because the justice said they were guilty as charged. But they never thought maybe these guys were innocent, and they was innocent.
Okay.
And it took most of their life. By the time they got there, by the time they got out of prison, they were so old,
yes.
all they could do was go to a baseball game.
Okay.
Where was the
okay.
justice at then, and where is it at now sometimes? I know what God can do, because God showed me something different. When you're in trouble, and I told this to Pastor Wallace then while you were away.
Okay.
I found the popo at my house, not from bad actions, for people having babies, for what neighbor called police, for music or whatever. Even
uh-huh.
though in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't like these people. I didn't say hate. I said because I was raised not to hate anybody. I don't
right.
like these
people. Right.
Why the hell she keep calling them into my house? She don't know what I've been, but I thought about it, and I said, you know what? God putting them purple around you so you don't hate them. Don't be afraid to call them, because one day you might need some of them very people
okay.
that killed
right.
your son. Because they out there doing the job, too. And I'm grateful. My testimony, as we kept talking about while you were away, my testimony is I had to distinguish the difference between anger, not hatred, anger, and confusion.
I see.
And upsetness, because they all fell in the same category at one point in my life.
Okay.
So
okay.
what I decided to do was I got to let go of that. And I'll never forget, and I know I won't, because I said this is a hard month for me, as I keep telling people. But
okay.
I'm trying my best not to hold on to all of that, which I never forget some of that, because they took one of my precious things ever to me in life, and that's my child.
Yes.
And
right.
it wasn't all of
okay.
me. It was just them couple that was just miserable, angry people, and they got to deal with God for that.
Okay. Let me bring Outkast in. Welcome, Outkast, to the conversation here. Again, we're talking from the topic how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. If there's, in fact, a trap, there's a way by which we can avoid it. Don, I'm going to open your mic back up, and hopefully you've been able to kill those noises in the background there. So, Outkast, any comment on that?
Oh, yes. Let's come in a bit. Right now, I'm getting a lot of feedback in the background.
Okay, go ahead. I've had to silence it. Go ahead.
Cut Don off again.
Okay, go ahead, Outkast.
Yeah, well, the thing is this right here, you know, I mean, following the news, following what's going on, and on good assumption, even here in Nashville, when it comes to the police on this last shooting, you know what this is? This is another dog and pony show. You know, if you ask me now, if you follow what's been going on, and them kids in black shooting them down, things of that nature, you know, they charge the officers and things of that nature, and the first thing, you know, people do what they jump up and get happy and say justice is going to be served, and all of a sudden they're acquitted on all charges. This is another Dog and Pony Show. Follow me for a minute now. You know, I would say wait and get the final results. You know,
right.
Me and AACP,
right.
Which they, you know, that's a Dog and Pony Show too. You know, they right now, you know, trying to take credit for this and credit for that. But if you follow the latest shooting that happened with Black, and they charged them, they go to court and they acquit up and they acquit them. You know,
and put them back with pay.
Now, if you listen to them, they're talking about transparency. Okay, do not get too happy with that Dog and Pony Show that the police, what just the justice system is putting up, you know, putting on now. Do you follow me, Reverend Doc?
I'm walking with you. I'm listening.
This is what's going on now. Now these ladies shooting several of them. Mm-hmm. The same thing has happened. You know, they take them, they lock them up, you know, they charge them, they get out on bond, they go to court, and all of a sudden they set them free. It's a Dog and Pony Show.
Well, so if I might, I think your point is that people get excited when they see the police get arrested, right?
Right.
But the police is afforded, under the criminal justice system, they're afforded the same rights as anyone else,
exactly.
and that is due process. And what people don't wait on is the final result of the – I just talked about the various portions and parts of the criminal justice system. Of course, you have the police.
Right.
Typically, they're the ones who enforce the laws and arrest people. Sometimes if they break the law, their own have to arrest them, right? And then they take them, to the court system. Where
right.
the court has a legal process, that's that forum whereby disputes or charges are settled based on the preponderance of evidence of the law and so forth and so on. And
now
after
Pastor
that,
Wallace,
Pastor
Dockery, if I may intervene, please, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Since you said that, from a personal experience,
yes.
If that be the case, why I never heard nothing that happened. The guys, the two that did do what they did back then,
mm-hmm.
They was put on leave with pay. And after that, even though the justice did prevail by the grace of God, I never heard anything else about it. The only thing I heard was the laws in Minnesota had changed. For tasering.
Okay. So
now,
let me explain something.
Are you following me?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Now.
But I never heard another word about them two police officers because they went on with their lives, but God dealing with them in his own way.
Yeah. Well, let me respond to you. And then we'll Alcat wanted to say something, too. Let me respond to you right quickly. I don't know all the details of what happened to the officers, but I do know this. What they're going to look at is the fact that the officers are commissioned by the government to exact the law, okay, to carry out the law, to make sure no one's breaking. If they find that in their duties they did not, that they were simply doing their duties in the context of the law, and they may have done things wrong or made an error, but their intention was to carry out their duties.
Their intention was to kill a nigga, and that's what the hell they did.
I hear your frustration, 8112. I hear your frustration.
They
but
did.
But listen to me.
And that's
okay,
why they were wrong, because they committed a law, and they should have been locked up. I don't know if they got locked up, but I doubt it. In the political justice.
Okay, hold on one second, 8112. What I'm trying to tell you is there is a process. Sometimes everybody, that's what Outkast was saying, everybody don't like the outcome of the process, especially when law enforcement is involved in incidents. Everybody don't like. Now, clearly, during Jim Crow, there was absolutely no reason for police officers to use their authority, pull people over out of their car, and beat them to a pulp or kill them or hang them from a tree. You know, there was absolutely no reason for that, right? That did happen. We know that's a part of American history. In 2018, though, the claim is that police are putting on their uniform and they're going out seeking out individuals to commit heinous acts with. I'm not so sure that that's altogether true. Unfortunately, too many of our young people are having negative interactions with police officers. That's and we definitely need to look at that. We need to reduce that. We need to deal with it.
I looked at that, but what about those of them, and I know I'm being rude by interrupting you, I apologize, but I'm saying, what about those ones that don't? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about anybody who's not getting the
job. All right, I'm coming to you, Outcast. Let me say this, and then let me hear from Outcast. Let me tell you what I told my son, who's 20 years old. Who's 20 years old. You have a right, but you can be dead right. You hear what I said? And what I mean by that is you're not going to win by fighting and challenging the authority of police. You go downtown if you have to, and we will straighten it out through the court system. And if we find that they're wrong, we want them to be held to full extent of the law. But don't be found dead right, because that can happen too.
Yes, sir.
So,
I know this.
Let me go to Outcast. Go ahead, Outcast. What were you going to say?
Okay. Let me try to bring some, what should I call this? What I'm going to say is, okay, the police come up with all different types of tactics trying to do tasing. You know, if they're going to tase you, they do not ask you whether or not you have any type of heart condition or anything that they do. All they do is tase you. If they tase you once, you don't fall, you keep coming, they tase you again. But all the time while they're tasing you, they don't know the type of health issue that you have.
That is true.
They tase you one, or they might tase you three times, and third time it'll kill you. The first time, you know, was sending you on your way. The second time took you out. You moved some more, and they did it again. They're still trying to develop ways that they can subdue criminals without too much injury at all. Now, you shocking the person. You don't know whether that person have a artificial heart or what. They don't ask these questions.
Right.
All they do is just along with something that just implemented to them, you know, all these degrees that they have, you know, where's the morals again, where's the ethics. You don't know what type of issues this person have, and you'll taste them.
That's correct.
All they want to do is sell a product, and the police department, they sold them a whole lot of those stun guns, old tasers or whatever. They don't look at the person's health or the... Now I'm a hold and I'm gonna let her talk because she's very adamant. You know, she want to speak, so I'll be quiet. Go ahead, ma'am.
I agree with you 100%. That is so true, and I call it electrocution because you don't know what nobody going through. You don't know what their condition is, although. Some of them trying to protect themselves, but some of them trying to use the power of authority to give strength, and some of them do. They got bad cops as well as they got good.
Yeah. So let me do
but
this. Okay. What's that?
I pose this question. Who's asking the questions within, you know, concerning the police department, things that nature. You had your congressmen, you had your senators, you have your councilmen, things of that nature. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard any of them asking the police department these questions about the tactics that they use to subdue a person? No, you hear nothing. Everything just goes straight through.
Well,
right
let
now,
me say this.
It is a health issue when it's all over. We talk about peanut butter not good for you. You know, coffee not good for you. You know what I'm saying? But you never hear them talk about anything that concerns the police department that they use on the American citizens. And I hold.
Okay. All right, hold on one second. Yeah, hold that point. Hold that point right there.
Pastor, while I see you. How you doing tonight, sir? Okay, I guess he's out there. So, Outkast and 8112, I hear what you're saying. You were talking about police procedures, right? Now, typically the police department is, you have a police chief that's appointed by a mayor, okay? With regards to the sheriff department, the sheriff supervises that, and that's usually an elected position. But either way, they all are trained with police training and so forth, as I understand it, come from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Okay? And what I'm saying is that their procedures are approved, and every year the FBI is supposed to go back and see how well they're following those procedures. And we have a crime report that comes out where every time there is a reported incident, they're to not only document that, but to share that with the FBI, and that's where we get our crime report, that statistical report that comes out every other year now, I believe it is. And so my point is that what happens is when the police come, no, they may not know I have a heart condition. That's even more reason why I should not try to fight or resist. Okay? Now, I hear people say they could have just tased them or they could have done this or that. Well, what police are trained to do is, I think that's done here, is to eliminate threat when they're exacting an arrest. The more The more I fight back and the more I resist, irregardless of whether they know what my physical, emotional, or mental condition is or not, their task is to exact the arrest. If I resist, that's considered a threat, and I increase the threat level, and they respond accordingly. And what I'm saying is,
again.
No, wait. Hold on, baby. Let me. I ain't gonna forget you. Just stay there.
I'm trying not to forget what I'm trying to say to you. Go ahead.
Okay. Don't lose yourself. And what is important to understand as a citizen, as a responsible law-abiding citizen, is that even if we're not in agreement with a charge that is leveled against us or probable cause that has been established to stop us and question us, the reality is we still have a civic obligation to go through the process and not fight the authority of the police. That's all I'm saying. Let me go to 8112 right quickly. I see you, 3072. Go ahead, 8112.
Okay, I can still agree to disagree. Am I correct or incorrect?
Absolutely.
You never answered my question. What about the ones that didn't fight? What about those people that they killed or murdered or hurt so bad they didn't even know their own name or just beat down because they was in power of authority and sound like as a politician to me, sir, and I love you.
I'm not a politician, by the way. I'm not a politician. I'm an advocate for people. I'm in a political process,
yes, so am I.
But I'm not a politician.
For,
all right.
For the people on the low end of the level.
Okay.
If I may. I apologize if I said something.
That's all right, baby.
But my point is, what about those people that did not resist? What about those people
that
were supposed to respect the popo and people of authority?
Let me give you my best answer. Let me give you my best answer again. If a police officer or anybody in authority, okay, misuses and abuses their power and authority, that includes the use of force, okay, on deadly force, they should be held to the highest account of the law. So
and
you said, what about
again,
those?
I never heard about them again, ever.
I cannot speak about your specific circumstances. I read the story, but I didn't keep up with the follow up to what happened.
Okay.
So I don't know all the details.
I respect you. We ain't got.
And I imagine that anyone can go back and find out whatever records that are related to that court case that may have ensued. I don't know the answer to that question in that specific situation.
I know you
situation.
Don't, so I apologize. I'm being rude.
Okay.
I ain't trying to.
No, that's all right. I'm just speaking in general, though. And we're talking
but
about
can
household
I do
work.
That? But legally, huh? Can I do that, even after it's all been said?
Yeah.
And
sure. You can always go back and find out what your government did. And you
thank
can
you.
All, if you think there's something wrong, you can always challenge that. That's your right as a citizen.
I mean, I didn't know that, and I thank you for that.
Sure. I mean, you are the reason they're there. They're supposed to represent your best interest. So absolutely. Let me go to 3072, who's been patiently. Welcome to, we're talking about how to avoid 3072, the trap of the criminal justice system. I heard you and Pastor Wallace speak about this Tuesday night and in previous times in terms of the system being unfair, the law
mm-hmm.
being unfair. Do you want to respond to that question or comment to that?
No, because I just called in. So,
okay.
No,
right.
I'm
very
just
well.
Listening.
All right, very well. So early on, I don't know if you heard the monologue, but I laid out the various four different areas of the criminal justice system and explained
mm-hmm.
what it is. And I'll just briefly review. It is an opportunity for a fair process for anyone that is charged with a crime. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody accuses you or me of a crime, the criminal justice system is really intended to protect you. You do have rights. And you're innocent until proven guilty. At least that's what's on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people would argue
mm-hmm.
that that's not true. All right. But nonetheless, let's go with what's on paper because that's what we can hold them to account to what's on paper.
Okay.
All right? Now, by the way, Outcast, I don't know if you heard my
mm-hmm.
monologue, but I started off by apologizing and correcting my statement on Tuesday relative to how many amendments to the Constitution.
27. Right now it's 27.
Yes.
Well, you know, I had to think about it again. It's 27, but during the period of time
correct.
That the Constitution was written, Now, okay, as time go on, it's going to be more than 27 because, like, when Thomas Jefferson and the rest of them, you know, they put the Constitution together, it probably
uh-huh.
wasn't nowhere near 27, you know, which I'm going to have to do a little survey research on that.
Actually,
in today's time, it's 27.
Well, actually, what
sorry?
If there was historical background to that. In 1789,
okay.
there were 12 proposed.
Right.
And
there we go.
There were 12 amendments proposed, only 10 made it into the Constitution in 1789.
Right.
And a student
right.
who was a sophomore at University of Texas in Austin pushed the envelope in 1982 to get them to really look at it. And Congress wound up in 1992, May 5th,
wow.
the, enacting the 27th Amendment. So that you're absolutely right.
Right.
I just wanted to make but
see, during that period of time, I think prohibition is in that amendment, which they did bring in prohibition, but later on it was abolished and things of that nature. See,
that's
this
correct.
Is what I was getting at. This is the way that the conversation was going when we were talking about
okay.
the amendment. You know, I mean, after I hung up, I had to really think about it, and I said it was 20-something. What is it, 25, 26? You know, I rounded up. I said, well, I'm going to stop at 27.
Right.
So when I did my research, I came up with 27. But as going back when the Constitution was first written, as you stated, it was lower than that. Prohibition wasn't even in there. And a lot of other things weren't even in there. Now, we know that during the period of time that George Washington was president, and you're going to bring me up to speed on this, but perhaps it was in the 1900s, where they wanted George Washington to be president for life. George Washington said no. So later on, there was another amendment added to where they give them, you know, a certain amount of terms. But in reality, when you look at it, the Constitution itself has been spread to pieces. You know,
well,
there is no real
okay.
constitutional.
All right, stop right there.
Okay.
So the Federalist Paper, I don't know if you're familiar with that. but they describe how Hamilton, who was a major architect of the federal, the Articles of Confederation, and he and Madison had a big battle, and they eventually came up with the Constitution. But we're not trying to get into that real right now.
No, no.
All I'm saying, what I'm saying is that for a long time there were only 26 amendments. It wasn't until 1992 that the 27th came into existence. But even since that time, it's known not for what it says so much as it is for how people are able to make it say what they want to. And I think that may be what you're referring to when you say the shredded to pieces. But again, there's debate and argument out there. So.
Right, but, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, briefly finish your point, and I want to come back
I don't want to stop you. I want to hear what you say.
Well, no, I was just going to take us back to our topic there. We're going to be more specific on how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system.
Mr.
Don,
Dockery.
Are you there? Yes, sir.
Yeah,
ahead,
and I'm going to tell you what I'm hearing, and I'm going to be very honest with you, and I got to come with you hard. You already know that you ain't a citizen if you ain't got a nationality.
Uh-huh.
So you can't be a citizen. And that's the problem I had with my dad's student. Hold on, Mr. Dockery. That's the problem I had with Jesse, with Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
You went and got some money claiming you was teaching citizen education when you know that your folk didn't have a nationality.
Okay.
So you guys from Chicago. Listen to this, Ms. Dockery. Now, you in Tennessee. See, now I got a problem with you guys coming from Chicago down south, and y'all come with this game, and you already know Morris Stein is in Chicago, and you come down here playing this game-banging game. I got a problem with that. And you're on the police force.
Okay. I see what you're saying, Dustin. Now, let me say something. Can I respond to you right quickly?
Go ahead.
So you said that you're not a citizen. Now, some people don't accept the sovereignty of the United States government. However, within the context of it, the preamble, as well as the Declaration of Independence, established the basis of American citizenship. Now, some people reject that.
But you ain't got a nationality. You run around here with the illusion that you Negro, black, and colored, and you ain't got no nationality.
Now, Don, I hear that. Interestingly enough, Don, I had a whole show that was geared towards you, and you didn't show up on us, man. I said, what, Don?
Mr. Dockery, can I tell you something else, Mr. Dockery? I'm going to kick this
back
to you. Somebody stole my telephone, Mr. Dockery.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you who stole my telephone. One of your faith-based brothers that's a preacher. His son stole the telephone.
Hey,
okay,
why you going to give it to me,
uh-oh,
man?
You play too much. I ain't lying. You should
have said somebody. Don't give it to me.
Was it an iPhone, Don?
No, it was my phone, that regular. I went to the store and I noticed my phone was missing, and I had confronted this preacher day before about being a faith-based preacher. The next day, his son and his crew that's around the community stole my phone.
We're going to listen, Don. I hear what you said. Let's get back to topic. Let's get back to topic. Pastor Wallace, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Help me out, man. I'm drowning here, bro.
Hey, man. You know, I thank God for truth, man. I mean, the only thing that's going to make us free is
the
truth, you know.
That's right.
I believe that if we speak the truth about what's really happening, I've heard some good things shared. And I just want to say that when a person has authority, no matter what realm it's in, and they misuse the authority intentional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the process of it, according to where the authority is that's being misused, the process is different. Some may say, I can get away with this because we don't have no cameras nowhere. And they're doing this to intentionally do harm. That's going on. That's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nowhere that you – and no way you can, I would say – find ways to say, we're going to make this right because that was wrong. You know, when you don't have no camera, what you got to say don't mean nothing. Because number one, it was done intentional, and then it was to bring forth harm. That's when you are doing this with the intent to bring harm. You see, some of them that's on the force have a heart to say, I just want to become a police officer. And they want to do everything within what's right to carry it out. Then you have some. And we have to deal with the knowledge of knowing that. And there's just some that just don't care nothing about serving and protecting. You know, some may have a vendetta for whatever the reason may be. And it's difficult to find out what to do about it. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not easy. I just put it like that. It's really, really not easy, especially for a black man. You know, it's really, you know, we have to be honest about that and deal with it accordingly.
Well,
you see what I'm saying? It's just a tough situation as a whole. And I've seen so many people, you know, myself as a doctor, that's dealing with this. And, you know, and it's almost like you're being stripped from being able to be in society as a whole. I'm going to say this. I'm turning right back over. That was a man. Let me say this, Pastor Doc. That was a man that had just experienced seeing a black guy getting shot down.
Mm-hmm.
The guy said, he said, I'm a carrier. He said, but, man, I'm afraid to even carry it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What he was saying was that he was afraid that he was being legit. He was afraid to carry because if they seen him with one, that turned him down. See, that right there, that thought should even came across his mind, man. But that's the power of the thought of what they just experienced. As if it was me, they would do the same thing to me. And I just think it's a tough situation, man. It really is.
Okay.
You know, not all of us like that.
Let me respond.
Go
let
ahead.
Me respond to you just briefly. I know mm-hmm. some others would like to. I'm going to come right to you guys. So Don is right. I did grow up in Chicago, and I left Chicago and came to Nashville. When growing up in Chicago, I saw some of the worst things myself. And guess what? I consider myself to be a victim of police roughing up. We call it brutality today. I wasn't quite though a saint, because we used to dog the police out, call them pigs, and when they came, oink oink, and you know all that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And Don, I'm gonna tell the truth, man. I was around when some of them pulled in a project, and they came back to their car. They didn't have no tires no more. I ain't gonna tell on myself, man. I hope the statute of limitations doesn't run out there, Pastor Wallace. No, but my point is, when I came to Nashville, there were some things I wanted to leave in Chicago, and one of them was my relationship with the police. And I can honestly say, since that time, I have not had those negative interactions because I changed my behavior I determined that I was going to do whatever it takes to avoid circumstances that will cause me to have certain type of interaction with police. And that's really what we're talking about tonight. That's what we're talking about tonight.
What
you say that, Outcast?
I said, there you are. You know, like the thing is this, you know, I mean, you got your, again, you got that civil war between the poor, uneducated, white, they call themselves educated now, all them degrees they got. You know what I'm saying? Well, up here in the North, we going to do it like this. Down here in the South, we going to do it like this. Up here, we going to let these niggas, you know, do what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? And we just going to sit back and watch, and they're going to turn around and start killing themselves. And that's exactly what's going on now. You know, like at the end of the day, the dog and pony show that they putting on concerning that police officer that they locked up and he made it a shallow bond. Hey, we've seen this before. You remember when they had a little guy in the back of I guess it was some type of little paddy wagon or whatever. He was chained up and stuff like that. He died, and all of a sudden, you know, they locked, you know, charged the police officers. Everybody got happy, hot, and justice. And guess what? They got acquitted, didn't they?
That was a pretty great case, yes, in Baltimore, Maryland. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And right now, see, people don't pay attention to what's going on in their surroundings now. I hear you say, it has been stated on here, if you don't know your history, you're going to repeat it. Well, if you don't know your news and your surroundings, you're going to still go for that dog and pony show, thinking something's going to happen and boom, I quit it. That's all they're doing.
Okay.
You're propaganda. Let me shut up.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Can
so
I say,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
I was just going to agree.
Yeah, go ahead, 37-2.
Oh, I was just going to agree with Reverend Dockery with, you know, knowing all that we know and knowing that there are traps that's purposely set out there, be it by the law or by judicial system, all of that. Why fall into their trap? It's up to you. And I know sometimes, you know, you can't avoid it, but when you can, I'm like him. I try to stay on one side of the law, which is away from me. Because I know if I get caught for anything, they're not going to be fair. I already know that. So why
now,
put myself in that?
Well, now, can I tell you something about me, 3072 and 8112?
Yep.
In 1992, I went through the application process to become a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the only reason I didn't is because Chief Kirshner at the time, Outcast and Sassawala, they put a freeze on their class. And when they did that, and they started back up, I wasn't interested anymore. I went through all the process and what have you. I said that to say that I have a healthy respect for law enforcement officials. And everybody is not out to get you. Unfortunately, you got some bad apples everywhere. But everybody's not out to get you.
Isn't that what I said? You did say that.
But because you don't know who is out to get you until they get you, you need to err on the side of caution.
They were not to get me. It just so happened that they got my son. But
okay.
I don't think they was out to get me personally because they didn't know nothing about me because I'm like you.
Right.
I try to stay the heck away from the puff out.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and can I say this? I was talking to some ladies today, guys, at a specific group of ladies, and I was explaining to them that I am sensitive to the concerns of mothers about their sons. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
But Pastor Waller, one thing I reiterated, Pastor Waller, is the only way you're going to get wet is to either go outside in the rain or jump in some water. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is,
will you sweat?
So the question is, how do I avoid the water? Right?
Yeah, that's a good question.
How do you avoid it? I could answer it. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, 37.
Stay away from all lakes and ponds. When you see a cloud forming in the sky, you can do it. And I'm not meaning that in a literal sense, but it's like even with who you surround yourself with, where you go to hang out, what you choose to do for entertainment, that kind of stuff. Yeah, you stay away from that mess, you'll be okay.
8112, let's be honest. The police hang out where mostly? 8112.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
Let's be honest.
I didn't
hear
you.
Okay, I'm asking the question now. Where do police patrol? Where do they hang out mostly?
They hang out with those. I hope I ain't finna say the wrong thing. They hang out a lot of places in the urban American areas. They hang out.
Like where?
The people they have selling drugs for them. They hang out where they can buy coochie from women in the projects, or they could take advantage of people because they're on drugs, and they could do devilment, some of them, let me say that again, not all. And that's where they hang out, where I live at. I don't even see a popo unless somebody call them to my house, or I call because somebody having babies, something. They come knee deep. And they realize, ain't nothing going on like that. That just Diane enjoy herself.
Now, and can I say something really quick? Yes. Sure. So you asked a good question of where do they hang out. So I just moved here. Y'all know that. I haven't been here long enough to know what's good, what's and all that. I'm moving because I cannot, on my days off, when I want to get out and just smell the fresh air, I don't feel apart, for one, or comfortable with where I live. So I have to venture out, outside of my community and my neighborhood just to try to stay safe.
That's where
they hang out. So why would I go on the block or to the script club down the street? I mean,
we talked about that uniform crime report from the Federal Bureau of Investigation every other year.
Mm-hmm.
And OutKast, do you know what the most recent one reported yet again? And that is the fact that as related to homicide, it don't say that all homicides were committed by black people, but it does say 50% of the reported homicides involve African Americans. And when they dug deeper, Pastor Waller, into the data, to the report, they found that of those 50%, 97%, 8112, involved black people killing other black people. Why did I say that? I said that so you can understand why you have a heavy police patrol and presence, specifically in African American precincts in urban American neighborhoods.
Mm.
And guess what?
Because
I get an escort. Can I say? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I got a call here from 3962. Give me 1 second. Did you have a thought you wanted to give 3270 right quick, and then we'll go
real quick to what I was saying. And because of where I live, there's a police precinct right down the street. So I get to be, like, followed when I go to work every morning because they out trying to look for people to, you know. Yeah, so,
All right, you get an escort. Okay.
You're
a free
escort.
Let me go to our new caller, 615-3962. Welcome. Talk straight. We're talking from the topic, how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. Question, comment?
How to avoid the trap? Well, first of all, thanks for having me, and I'm just tuning in to the show. But the answer to your question is to be mindful of your environment and don't go in places where potential known criminal activity is going to be. A lot of it's based on your the people that you're hanging around too, because if you're hanging around a group of individuals that has record and continuing that behavior, therefore you're going to be a suspect without even being a part of because you're hanging around those individuals and they want to continue those actions. So therefore the law enforcement are familiar with you, and then you've been in a certain part of town where you're frequent. Their eyes going to be on you and anyone who's associated with you, whether you're performing those type of activities or not. Just about group association.
Wow. And caller, I love what you're saying, because what you're really telling us is that the onus of responsibility is on us to avoid trouble. Now, the difficulty is, as 3072 is saying, when you live around trouble, how do you avoid? That's where you live. You know what I mean? But it's the law-abiding people who want the police to clean up the neighborhoods so that everybody can be happy. Get along. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
We have a need. We have a duty. Yeah, go ahead, right quick, Pastor.
Yeah, Pastor. Listen, to clean up the neighborhood, to clean up the community. Don't go into the community where all this is being put into the community. Go where it started at before it gets to the community. That's how you clean it up.
Oh.
You don't clean it up by coming out there, putting it out there, and then you don't put it out there and then come up there and talk about cleaning it up. That's double minded. That's intentional.
Okay, Pastor.
That's, you know,
I'm glad you said that, Pastor. Right. I want you to listen to Lil Wayne. I'm not crazy about rap, but listen to what he's saying. Because he's talking about the block being hot. And this is a reality now. That's a reality. Let's just for a second.
I can understand it because it wasn't coming through as clearly. Maybe you can give me an update on a briefing on some of the things he was saying.
So let me just describe briefly. The young man was describing on his block where everybody's carrying guns and they don't have no love for one another. So they're ready to shoot and kill whenever they see something or somebody they're not in agreement with. They're making money out there on the block. And when somebody comes that's encroaching their territory, the block comes hot. Now,
okay.
Let me ask you, my question is, do we not want, that if the police don't come and somebody approach me with that, I'm a law-abiding citizen and I'm good to carry. I ain't about to lay down and, you understand what I'm saying? I can't be your victim.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need the police to come and do their job and cheat public safety? That's my question.
What about having the community to do their job instead of the police?
I agree, that's my contention, caller. That's my whole position. That if we clean up the block of all of this mindset and this behavior, but the problem is when we go to cleaning, we go to sweeping, guess who we gonna find in the dustpan? Somebody that looks like us. Huh?
Some of y'all relatives.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, when we find the perpetrators that are causing the mayhem in our neighborhood, they're going to look just like us or somebody that grew up around us, see? And if we're
and when
not
you
honest
get,
about
it. Some of your own kinfolk.
That's
right.
You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So let's be honest about it. So, I mean, we can keep the police out if we police ourselves. I agree with you, 3962. Don, you were trying to say something right quick.
Mr. Dockery, the police is intertwined with that. Don't you know 5 murders just came up here in Selma, Mr. Dockery? And something else, just
wow.
I turned off a while ago. You didn't know I was talking to the Muslim minister up in Birmingham. They just convicted a legislator up in Birmingham, but you ain't convict Rose Sanders down here that run the Jubilee, buy houses every year, and your husband the state senator. What kind of mess is that?
There you go again, man.
What kind of mess is that?
I don't tell
and
you.
Mr. Doctor, I did research on your FBI agent. Guess what? The director went to Yale. Come on now, another stolen ball.
What's the red you're coming to get to
Watch yourself, 3081. Okay, bring it back home. So we got 14 minutes. Don, I hear what you're saying, brother. How to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. I can think of one thing we can do. We can teach our young. I don't know if these old folk want to change, and I'm not really worried about them right now. Because if, you know, ain't nothing worse than a fool than an old fool, because the old fool had plenty of time to get his stuff together. That's my view of it. But we can teach our babies how to be appropriate and order and obedient to the civic expectation of the law. That will go a long way to avoiding their negative engagement with the criminal justice system.
Yes, sir. I like that. That was nice.
Well,
that was very nice.
And guess what? There are going to be people that are out of order. I realize that. But when you're in order, you have a good chance, a good chance of ensuring that prosperity come your way when you're in order.
Well, Reverend Doug, if you don't mind asking, for the church to be in order, the family has to be in order, and the community has to be in order, which we don't have that on a collective level. We don't have that. You have a certain percentage of it, but collectively, you look in the community across the country, we don't have it.
But young man, may I intervene and say something, please, real quick?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
I say that sometimes, even if you just with your mom, or maybe you got your mom and your dad, and you listen to them fuss and argue and go through what grown-ups do. But me being a single parent, I'm speak for myself. I tell my kids not to do as I do, but to do as I say, which came from who? My mother, which was what I was taught. So I tried to build that within them. And even in my darkest hour, when I think they weren't listening, they have a tendency to come back and show me, I heard you. And that means a world to a larger, like on this radio station now, I don't know who listening to this. But it may reach 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 100 people. And that's what I think all of us is on here for. I don't need my voice to be heard. It's heard already.
Right.
So I have a point for being on here to listen, I learn, and I hear. And I thank you for speaking out as well as a man.
Okay. All right. Man, look at the time. Pastor Wallace. That's why you're there?
I'm here. Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. I wanted to respond to this, Pastor Waller. Let's go back to Lil Wayne for a second. He was talking about all that was going on. And if you listen to him, it's a busy street, a busy block. Why do young people get so caught up on the block that they lose focus on what's appropriate and what they should be doing? Just right quickly, Pastor. I know we just got 11 minutes, but can you speak to that for a second? Because you were talking about somebody coming in your neighborhood and planning stuff and basically baiting you into certain behaviors. How did the young babies, Pastor Baby, get there?
Excitement. You know, things were exciting. You know what I mean? To experience, to try something for the very first time, you know, that's what the trap is. You know, the trap don't come from anything other than trying it for the first time. I mean, that's what, you know, you want to devour anybody, you know, go get a group of young people who don't know anything about hardly nothing. And, you know, we'll be talking about how to avoid the trap. What does the trap look like? The Bible says that you let it rain on the just as well as the unjust. Who is the just? And who is the unjust? How can you tell them apart? By the clothes that they wear? By the way that they, by the way they walk, by what they drive in, you understand what I'm saying? How do you be able to distinguish which one is the just and the unjust? And so what I'm saying is that when you bring something that's called in a trap come in, you do it with the intent of making it look like I'm innocent. I'll turn it back over to you, Pastor Dobby, with this. Even inside the churches, there's a man that transformed himself into an angel of light just to tell a lot of people, man. Just a lot of people, you understand? So you have to make it look like it's delicious. This is something worth trying. And all of a sudden, you capture the person's mind, put a gun, dope, and a language out there, man, you know, and then you support it. You support it, increasing what it's bringing forth, and then you sit back and relax and watch self-destruction at its best.
And drugs in my hand, I flushed that shit in the toilet.
Oops. I don't blame you. Today, I don't blame you. Today, I wouldn't have flushed it back then.
To do something I don't want to do.
That's the thing about it. That's the thing about it. You talking about the trap. You talking about the trap. You talking about the trap. How to avoid the trap is what you're talking about, Pastor Doctor. You can't afford it.
You
talking about the young people. You talking about the young people, Pastor. Is what you're talking about, right?
I was young then too. I was young before. No.
What I'm saying, he's talking about how the young people today. How do they avoid the trap? This is how you avoid the trap. You go to the head and cut it down, and it won't reach.
Okay.
It won't reach them. That's how
you
avoid
it. You gonna reach them
meaning,
like that? Tell them to go to the head and cut it down. Just like
meaning that
you
ask me
the
question:
off,
how to
the
avoid
body
it?
Ain't gonna move no more. That's a lie.
Let one person talk at a time for you, so I can understand what's
how,
going on.
This is how you avoid the trap. This is how you avoid the trap. The young people out there, why are they so excited about things that they see? It caused them to be in the trap. That's what caused them to be in the trap. They don't know anything about how to avoid the trap. As I said,
right.
Let it rain on the just as well as the unjust. And who is the just? Who is the unjust? How can you? They both look alike. They're dressing alike. They're talking alike. So this is just the way it is. If you're going to set a trap for somebody and they don't know how to escape it, you put it out there and see who goes up into it, man. And most people, they're going to go into the trap, man. That's what's happening out there. They're innocent people.
So what?
They are very innocent. Very innocent people.
You got
it? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
go ahead.
I agree with that. But Pastor Wallace, if you're going to set a trap for a mouse,
who that is?
You're going to tell him to sneeze on his mouth so I can kill you. Are you kidding me? Anybody
you said, what
set that trap for your behind, they're not going
to
tell you they're setting that trap for you.
They're not
these
supposed to.
Kids are not looking for the trap, and the 2018 and 17, 16, 15, 14, young kids, the trap was set when they set the parents of the white, of the right, excuse me, to whoop their behind and try to raise them. But the era I came in, a lot more lost themselves. So how they going to set anything as an example for some of their children? I was one of the lucky ones.
Okay. Okay.
Praise God.
Okay. All right. Listen, we got 6 minutes and about 30 seconds. I'm sorry,
I'm,
man.
I'm just going to listen at this point. Y'all don't ask me no more questions. I won't tell no more story, which is the truth as I said.
Go ahead. Do your thing. 8112,
you know we appreciate and value your contribution.
Going.
Okay, all right. Hold on.
I love
8112.
You.
Yeah, wait a minute, Doc. Okay, all right. So let me do this. Let me go to my most recent caller. Thanks for joining us tonight, 3962. We typically offer callers to give a final thought before we leave. A final thought on what we've been talking about. 3962.
Well, yeah, you mentioned how to avoid the trap, but I think one of the things with young people is I don't believe maybe y'all touched on it or not, but I caught the latter part of the show is peer pressure too, and you know in our community it's shameable to be an intellect and is glorified to be a criminal. And I think and the rap industry and the TV is playing a role in that, and that's having
that's
a
right.
negative effect on our children because they don't want to be seen. It's not cool to be smart, but it's cool to be a criminal in the sense of be recognized as a criminal, and a lot of them get caught up in that situation. But also, too, we had to teach our children how to have a mind of their own to be a leader, not a follower. Because if you're teaching them to be a leader, it's going to be a challenge. And they might not get caught up into that as much as some of the followers were.
Okay. Great point. Appreciate that. We're going to go ahead and have a final thought from another. We got about four and a half minutes here. Thank you, caller. Appreciate that. Don, what about it, man? Final thought here before we leave.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be very honest with you. Selma still got a lot of work to be done. The slave mentality is so deep within our people psychologically. I don't know how we're going to come out of it. But, it's, you know, I guess God going to bring us out. It's deep. That's the only thing I got to say.
That's all. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. All right, there. What about it, 8112? Final thought before we leave?
Yes, my final thought is
once again, I admire you guys, and I'm grateful that was able to get on here last week. I chose not to, so. And thank you, and pray for me and my family that we be strong as we have been and continue to do so, and I'll do the same for you guys.
All right. Well, thank you again for being with us tonight. Appreciate your contribution there. All right. Outcast, what about it, man?
Well, I can go in so many different directions, but to the new caller, listen to this. A wise man can play the role of a fool, but a fool cannot play the role of a wise man. Am I being crumbled? They're fools. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
A wise man can play the role of a fool, but a fool cannot play the role of a wise man. And Don, how come you didn't tell us that they've been luring them police officers to the project shooting at them? You didn't tell us that, Don, going on up there in Selma, and I'm a fool.
Okay,
All right.
Appreciate that. Okay. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. Amen. That's no exception to the rule.
Yeah.
All right, Pastor Wallace, come on, give us a final thought there, man. Wrap us up. We got two minutes here.
We thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk as well as to listen. You know, what I like about the conversation, we have to stir up the gifts and not be ashamed of what we have to offer. But the word does say, and we need to always remember that in Hebrews 13, verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue.
Mm.
When we get brotherly love flowing in our hood, you're going to see a love, joy, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Glory to God.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. I believe that's a preacher.
Yeah, keep stirring it up. Amen.
There's hope for us, man. We can't give up, Pastor.
Yes,
we cannot give up.
Right.
We cannot give up because I don't care how bad of a criminal you may have been labeled, there is something that the Almighty is able to do. You say it all the time, that with God,
shall be impossible.
Shall be impossible.
Yes, sir.
I believe that's including changing young brothers' hearts and minds, man. It's possible.
Oh, without a doubt.
But we can't give
that's
up on
hope
we can't give up on We can't give up on
That's
can't
right.
give up on
that's
Man,
it.
Great word. Great word.
Praise
thank
God.
All of you all. And I hate that we have to go. Shoot, we got another minute and 30.
Long
90 seconds. That is. But now, so let me just say this. www.bfcinstitute is the website. Please go there. Look at what we're doing. Even though I'm running for office, we haven't given up our efforts here with our nonprofit. We're grateful to partner with Pastor Walla and New Way Outreach Ministries and everything that he's doing. And we want you to listen. That's here locally in Nashville. And one of the things we love to do is to come to your area with our information. This dialogue is hopefully going to make a difference for someone. With that being said, I want to thank you all again. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're signing off to Talk Straight. We've been talking from the topic, how to avoid the trap of the criminal justice system. But when we come back next Tuesday, 7:00 p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight, join us. We'll be in another month, and my goodness. But thank you all again, and we look forward to seeing you then.